listening to Vet Candy.
Hi guys, this is Vet Candy IRL, and this is Lexi Rodriguez.
I'm Tatiana Rogers.
And I'm Shannon Gregoire. So how have you guys been? Like, what's up in your lives right now, Lexi? How are you?
Well, I've been doing really good. Thank you, Shannon. Well, back in Texas, it's really hot. Like, So I went outside like at 6 and it was nice and windy. I'm like, it's going to be a good day today. And then by 9, it was like hitting, I want to say like 109, like 110. And it just completely changed. So the weather was really bad. It kind of like, it would hit you. It's like, okay, yeah. Like you have to pack in clothes. And people are like, how do you do it? I'm like, I take in clothes. I'll go from sweater to like shorts real quick. And my scrubs, yeah, like I'm not kidding. I'll send you guys a video. Like I had to like drench those. And the other doctors, the residents there were like, we do it too. Cause it's really hot. Yeah. You're like, ugh. Yeah, no, I feel that. Like I'm starting to rethink the whole I want to live in Texas thing because it's really hot here. Like, man, I don't know. Maybe California, maybe. And I know you guys are there. So tell me about California, Shannon. How is it over there?
It's pretty good. I mean, it's been like a solid like 80, between 75 and 85 every day, which for me is like perfection because back home in New England, they're still like kind of cold and it can be like 30 degrees. And I'm not really into that anymore. So this 80 degree spring weather is like the perfect like icing on the cake for me.
Wow. What about you, Tatiana?
Yeah, that is an all the way yes for me, Shannon. Back home in LA. Yes. In Colorado, actually, it's beautiful right now. We had a storm, I want to say like a week ago, a snowstorm. And then now it's just like beautiful sunshine, trees, mountains. You can see the snow caps on the map. It's beautiful. It's a lot different than the city of LA, but.
No, we get sandstorms over here.
Sandstorms?
Yeah, we do. Like I was driving, I had just cleaned my vehicle. I was going back into my town and a sandstorm hits. My top was off from my Jeep, so I inhaled everything. And the cop next to me looked at me like, yeah, like you should have just kept your top on. It was horrible. I was like inhaling all the sand. And it's really rare when it happens, but it happened that one time. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to laugh it off. Just keep driving. Like at this point, I'm in the highway. I can't do anything. Like it's just a sandstorm. But 80 degree weather, that's really nice. It's definitely a parka kind of thing for me because the last time I visited California, I thought it was really cold. I was shivering the whole time and it was like 70, 80. And it was just me. It's like, I'm not used to it, but it is really pretty. I love California. I do. Maybe one day.
So Lexi, are you going to tell us about our mystery guest?
Ooh, yes, of course. She is amazing. Beautiful, independent, goals. I kid you not, definitely someone I've been looking up to. Like I was going through her profile. I'm like, wow, like she is absolutely amazing. I am. So we're going to go ahead and introduce to you guys, Dr. Kelly Harris.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. I'm so excited to have you. Like I was trying to keep the tone in because I am like, you're amazing. I hope you know that you are.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on your show. And you know what? It's right back at all three of you ladies. Y'all are super amazing. I also did my homework a little bit on you before joining the show. And I also got a little bit of a synopsis on who you are when I first joined the call today. And y'all are major multitaskers. I can't imagine still being in vet school and accomplishing the things that you guys are accomplishing, starting right now with this podcast. This is crazy. So congratulations to all three of you for being phenomenal women and you haven't even graduated yet.
Thank you. That means a lot. That really does. We're all here trying, just looking out for each other. I'm like, I see my girls and I'm like, you go girl, like keep going. We just push each other back and forth. And it's really nice to have like friends and just getting to know many other people and networking. Like, you're not alone. Like, we are all going through it, the struggles, the waking up, having class, having exams. And it's like, this is giving us something to look forward to. And we get to tell our stories. And yes, it was actually yesterday. I went to the store and this girl, she was like, "Hi, you're Lexi from Instagram." She's like, "I heard your podcast." And Tatiana, she mentioned Tatiana. And she's like, "I want to tell you to tell her that I'm into plants now because of her. Like, I love my plants and hearing your podcast really made a difference." I was like, "Thank you." I'm like, "I'll tell her tomorrow, of course." She was, yeah, she was like, "Plants girl, I love my plants too." But Tatiana, she really, I just got a plant. I'll show you later on. I did. It's alive. It's alive. It's there.
Well, see, what I'm hearing then is that you guys are already influencers. You're influencing people even when you don't think that you're influencing them. I mean, right now I feel like I should also go get a plant. So influencing me.
But tell us more about you, Dr. Callie. So, like, what's your background? Like, how did you get to where you were today? I heard you were from Tuskegee.
Yes, so great. I am from Atlanta. I live here in Atlanta currently. I graduated from the illustrious Tuskegee University School of Veterinary Medicine back then. Now it's College of Veterinary Medicine. I came out many years ago. Once upon a time, there was a girl that graduated from vet school. That was me. And then after that, I pursued a small animal rotating internship at a specialty practice in Cary, North Carolina. And that is where I got bit by the emergency bug. So after my internship, I went on and became an emergency vet back here in my home state of Georgia at a very high volume, busy practice. So life is great right now. I have enjoyed every step of my journey. And I always share with people that ask me, you know, would you change anything? Would you do anything different? And my answer would be no. I've loved every aspect of it.
Wow, I love that. Like, just hearing you, it's very inspirational. It definitely, like, keeps me going and looking forward every step from vet school, from my internships, externships. Do I regret anything? No, because I'm learning and I'm going to keep learning. And you'll find yourself. You will. So it's really encouraging to hear you say that. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
If you are like me, you want to improve your skills, and that means improving your clinical confidence. That's why Vet Candy created a master course in respiratory disease. The master course is taught by a board-certified criticalist and delivers a thorough evaluation of the science and clinical practice skills needed to master respiratory disease from diagnosis and management to client counseling. Plus, when you complete the course, you earn a certificate of completion as a certified respiratory educator and exclusive tools to celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment. And what's even more exciting? The course is free and provides RACE and New York State approved continuing education credits. This master course is brought to you by Trudell Animal Health, the makers of the AeroCat Chamber. You can start helping your patients breathe better by taking it for free today at myvetcandy.com/respiratory.
I think it's important when you say you will find yourself, I think that's a great call out, because something that I experienced in vet school, and I know that you guys are, I mean, I should honestly be taking notes from the three of you women, but what I remember when I was in vet school, something that I wanted to make sure that I paid close attention to was saying no to nothing, right? So for instance, I am from a suburb of Metro Atlanta. It's called Kennesaw. I am not a farm kind of girl, okay? I'm a suburban princess. But listen, you understand, Tatiana. But when I went to vet school, which was at Tuskegee, which is in Macon County, Alabama, super rural, lots of land, lots of large animals, I also gained an interest in large animals too, because of the amazing large animal professors and large animal anatomy the second semester of my first year. So I decided at that point that I was going to work with horses. So I pursued a horse externship in the summer between my first and second year. in Shelbyville, Kentucky. And very quickly during my externship, I realized I was never going to be a horse vet. Listen, say no to nothing. What I mean by that is, had I not pursued that externship that was so outside of my box or my realm of possibilities, then I wouldn't have known that 120% that was not going to be the pathway for me. So do it all, and then that helps you hone in on what you're really into and where your skills lie.
I love that. I agree with you. I also did an externship, and being in that ranch was not for me. It was hot. I was like, I love you guys, but not about me. Yeah, I agree.
Listen, horses are sweet. They're beautiful. But let me tell you, probably the rate limiting step for me were not the horses, but the horse people. Okay, the horse people were special. And I just realized I didn't talk horse. I didn't talk horse. Okay, I don't know that language. It was great. I enjoyed it. It was really funny because during that externship, I lived on a farm, you know, in this facility that was set up for me. And I literally thought I was going to be sharing this property with other people. But when my host, the veterinarian that I was working under, him and his wife, they dropped me off at this facility. And I was like, well, where are you guys going? They're like, well, we live a couple miles down the road. I was like, well, who is on this a million acreage of land that you're about to leave me on by myself? They're like, you and the animals. I was like, can I phone a friend?
Little did you know there was no reception either.
Listen, nothing. It was, you know what? I did have my trusty Pomeranian with me. His name was Mickey. Rest in peace. He lived to be 18 years of age, but I would have not survived that externship without him because he let me know that I was safe and protected just by his little barks. But it was an interesting experience for sure.
And I grew up with horses and like in that equine industry, and I think I'll take care of my own horses, but I think I'll do something else for my career. But yeah, it's definitely like the equine world is its own, pun on words, animal. It's its own animal.
It is. Shannon, it is. And I mean, I love to hear you say that because you come from that background. You have horses. You grew up, I'm imagining, with horses. But even you can recognize that it's so unique and so specific. So for many of us who get into vet school not knowing, it's great to, you know, get that exposure. And I'm sure there are people who have not ever worked with horses that maybe did develop that passion and go on to become phenomenal equine vets. But I think it does take a very special person and understanding of that entire lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
It is. It is. A couple weeks ago, we had a horse lab in on campus, and we were just learning how to do blood draws and like wraps and things. And they told us that we had to wrap the leg a certain way. Otherwise, the horse owners would know that we don't know what we're doing.
Oh, they can spot you out. They knew that I was an imposter. Like they 100% knew, okay, this little girl has no idea what she's doing. But you know what I will tell you? I learned, I gained, I made friends, and it did end up being an awesome experience. But yeah, they know.
They do. It's like, oh, you're in scrubs. Nice.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. In today's world, veterinary professionals have to stay current to stay relevant. That's why Vet Candy is launching master courses for continuing education. Courses are led by subject matter experts who guide participants through the latest research and cutting-edge technologies. The programs are free for veterinary professionals and can be accessed 24/7 on myvetcandy.com. Upon completion of a course, participants receive a Vet Candy Certificate of Completion, continuing education credits, and access to exclusive tools to help celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment. Want to learn more? Check out myvetcandy.com/certification today.
Oh, so what are you up to now, Dr. Callie? What's your newest venture that we've heard about?
Oh, I thought you would never ask. So, you know, I talked a lot of great stuff about Love and Emergency, and I didn't finish the story. after I worked ER for a while, I did make a transition over into industry. So for those of you guys and for your listeners, I am technically now an industry veterinarian. I work for a fantastic company, Purina. Maybe you've heard of the company. Great, right? Big household name. But I now serve as a veterinary communications manager, which essentially means that I love to educate on all things Purina, from the products to the innovations to what we do beyond the food bowl. So I'm an open book when it comes to all things Purina. And I've been doing that for about 4.5 years now. I still dabble in relief work back at my emergency practice, and as well as I pick up some general practice shifts too. But most recently, I decided to try my hand with television. And this is something that's like very new project, new world, new opportunity. But now you guys can catch me on Tuesday nights on ABC on a little show called Pooch Perfect, which is a creative grooming competition reality TV show. It is hosted by the illustrious Rebel Wilson. She is so funny. And I sit on the judges panel with Jorge Bendersky, who is a creative grooming judge based out of New York. And also, maybe you've heard of her, Lisa Vanderpump, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Vanderpump Rules. She is a huge animal advocate. She has her own rescue organization based out of LA called Vanderpump Rescue, I believe, or Vanderpump Foundation. She's done a ton by way of being just an overall dog and animal advocate. So it has just been so much fun. She is a little crazy about Pomeranians as well as some other things. Maybe you guys know about some of her very famous pets. Jiggy, actually, the Pomeranian that everybody remembers, he passed away a couple of months ago. And now she has another Pomeranian that she rescued. His name is Puffy. And he actually sat as the fourth judge on Perfect. He was there for every episode. But I got to know him. I got to know her. And the TV show, or just the whole premise of it, it's bringing all of these top amazing creative groomers to one stage to vie for the title of being Pooch Perfect. And there's $100,000 at stake. There's bragging rights at stake. And when I'm talking about grooming, this isn't your typical lion cut, okay? I know when my dogs go to the groomer, I'm just happy if they get brushed out, they smell good, and I can put them back into the bed with me. But these are creative groomers. So they're taking all the benefits and the utilization of just grooming, day-to-day grooming, but taking it a step further and showcasing their artistry, their passion, their creativity. So the first episode, one of the challenges was to turn one of the dogs into a completely different animal. So we had these dogs that walked in looking like typical poodles, right? And maybe they walked down the stage looking like a badger or a flamingo. It's insane. And if you haven't had a chance to check out the show, I would really encourage you to do so, because it is just overall good family fun. And I think from a vet standpoint, it is so awesome for me as a veterinarian to represent the veterinary community and have a seat at such a large table. I mean, this is primetime television, and just to be able to voice my opinion and provide, you know, the safety and care for all the pets that are being groomed on the show was just a huge honor for me.
That's amazing. Like, how did you like stumble upon this? Like, how did this happen? This is amazing.
It was such a stumble. So last year in 2020, the year that I know that everybody is trying to forget, I had just gotten my work from home order. So with Purina, prior to, you know, the pandemic hitting, I would travel a lot for this position, you know, go into universities and go to different vet clinics. And so we were banned from traveling, just like so many other companies. You just had to work from home. And so I was sitting at home and I was, you know, just on my phone doing nothing. And one of my really close friends, former ER colleagues, her name is Dr. Melissa Braver. She sent me a text message with a little ad that said, calling all veterinarians, casting call for this grooming show. And she was like, Callie, I saw this on, I think it was a Facebook page for vets. And she was like, and the moment that I saw this ad, she was like, the first person I thought of was you. So we kind of joked about it. I was like, what do I know about creative grooming? Like, zero. But it didn't say I had to have experience with grooming. It just said I had to be a veterinarian. So she was like, apply, just do it. You know, what do you have to lose? So I sent in, you know, a little blurb about who I am, some of my headshots, just to give you guys a little bit of a background on me too. For Purina, I do quite a bit of media work. So I have already been a little bit out there with Facebook Lives and, you know, different YouTube videos. So I sent them links to that so they could see my body of work. And surprisingly, I got a call from one of the casting producers literally the next day, like, hey, we want to talk to you. And then the rest was history. So I went through a series of interviews. And in fact, one of them was kind of a casting call where I was in front of my computer just like this. And they asked me a bunch of questions about grooming, about, you know, my experience and my exposure and my opinion. And then they sent that or funneled that up to some more producers. And then in August, I got the call. I had auditioned for this technically back in May of last year. And then August, after I'd forgotten completely about it, they're like, hey, you want to be a judge?
So, that is so cool. Where did they film the show?
They filmed it in LA. So for about a month, I had to move myself to LA. They put me up in corporate housing and we shot 8 episodes in 3 weeks. And I don't know if any of you guys have had experience with television. That was my first experience. I mean, I've done some social media stuff, but never like at a studio with a trailer and hair, makeup, wardrobe. I wasn't used to any of that. Like, I do my own hair and my own makeup, clearly. But we shot at a studio in LA, 3 weeks, 8 episodes. It was just phenomenal. Like, I, you know, everyone's like, what's the best part about it? And I can't put my finger on it. All of it was fantastic.
It does sound amazing. Hair and makeup, I need your team.
Listen, what's really funny about that, because I literally had a wonderful, first of all, a makeup artist. Her name was Stephanie. I had my hair guy. His name was Dorico Magic. That says it all. Dorico Magic. He brought the magic. And then my wardrobe was Nola Roller. And honestly, I got so used to having people dote on me, do my hair, you know, powder my nose, tell me what I was going to wear, that when I got back home to Atlanta, I was like, literally, what do I do? Like, I have no idea what to do. I'm looking at my husband like, are you not going to like bring in wardrobe for me? Like, what is happening? So yeah, I got real kind of in my feelings about it. But now, you know, I've gone back to my normal tinted moisturizer, you know, a little bit of lip gloss. Let's just make it happen.
What a life. What a dream you're living. Living the dream. I love it. I love it. And that is, I mean, for me as a woman of color, I think, you know, seeing you, Dr. Harrison, like seeing you on ABC and just knowing that you're representing the veterinary industry, you know, is just so important. Because me growing up, I never saw a veterinarian who looked like me, you know, and I really didn't think it was possible until after I graduated college, because I just, you know, never saw that. So that's really amazing.
Tatiana, you are hitting on such a really important point, because, you know, I think that when I took this position, I took it with all of that in mind, you know, beyond the glitz and the glam and, you know, having my own personal trailer, which I didn't know I was going to have that when I took the job. So that was an added bonus, but it was bigger than that. You know, I wanted to represent who I am as a veterinarian, as an African-American veterinarian, as a female veterinarian. You know, I wanted all of these things to come to light and to truly demonstrate that anything is possible for anybody that is listening, to anybody who feels like they're from a marginalized or underrepresented group, whether it's physically or mentally or emotionally. I just really wanted to provide a resource, or just, you know, that beacon of, yes, you can do it. And the sky is the limit. I don't think that back in vet school, I had imagined that I would end up on ABC, but that's one of my favorite sayings is, you never know what's around the bend. So don't close any doors. Don't shut any windows. Just be open to whatever may manifest in your life. So I appreciate you calling that out.
And a progressive company like Purina, too. I mean, for you to have such a role in Purina, that is just so cool. They just came out with this new diet that's like makes cats hypoallergenic.
Yes, we've heard about that. It's so cool.
So the diet that you're referring to, it's Live Clear. And what's even cooler about that is with all that innovation and technology, you would think that your clients would need a prescription for it. It's an over-the-counter pro-plan diet because it is really to benefit the human that exists with that cat. So it's overall a complete and balanced diet that has an added ingredient. So the prominent allergen that we may be sensitive to, it's called FeLD1, feline D1. And so there's this anti-FeLD1, this antibody that has been added to this diet via an egg product. And that's what the cats are eating. It helps neutralize that antigen. And so then when they're licking or they're grooming and that dander and that hair goes out into the environment, it no longer carries that super sticky protein that you and I, who may be allergic to that cat, are going to be sensitive to. So it is just an amazing product for Purina to put out. It makes me super proud.
That's so exciting too, to like potentially like get more cats and kitties out of shelters with like people who may have been nervous about allergies and things like that. Like this is like, hey, we now have a solution, because our Purina rep last year talked to us about like this food in the making. We were so excited. And now that it's finally here, we're like, yes.
Shannon, you hit so many good points with that, because the shelter and the relinquishment of cats is huge. And especially when you're talking about reasons for it. And, you know, you can look at the different categories. Of course, behavior is always going to be at the top of the list, but also, you know, allergies or, you know, the humans not being able to tolerate having that feline in the household. That's a number one reason, not number one, but a top reason why some of these cats may also end back up in the shelters. And so I think that it's not just a matter of providing a diet for, you know, the humans that know that they're going to stick it out with the cats no matter what, but it also opens up doorways for more feline adoption. So I think that that's great.
Yeah, I love that. It does. Because you'll hear that very often. Oh, well, I'm allergic to them or allergic to this or that. And when you start explaining a lot more, it does, like you said, open more options and more adoptions.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I'm sensitive to cats. I don't know if the rest of you guys, but I am a dog owner. I have three little ankle biters that you may hear bark here and there. But, you know, I've always loved cats, but I developed an allergy to them when I was right around high school time, which was terrible. So I had grown up with them, and then we realized very quickly, you know, it was a problem. We still managed to have cats in the household, but it definitely did stop me once those cats had passed along. It definitely did stop me from obtaining more cats because of how severe my allergies became. I had always fostered because that was more of a temporary scenario, but I could never really bring a cat in permanently because of my symptoms associated. And so when this diet came out, I looked at my husband. I'm like, ooh, maybe we can add a cat to the household. And he's like, looking at these three dogs, he was like, for who? Which one are we trading? Because we already have quite the boisterous home. But I do just think that this is going to bring pets and people together even more. And I can't wait to hear what you guys think about the diet. If you start recommending it, I would love to hear your feedback on it too.
Definitely. Yes. It's amazing. More kitties.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see how this is just the start. You know what I mean? Like for me, my cat, you know, I have I call him my best friend cousin. He can't come to visit me from California because I have a cat and he's allergic. So he's like, well, if I come, I can't come stay with you, et cetera, which is like really sad that that's a barrier, you know, for him visiting.
It is a barrier. And that's, I mean, you said it perfectly. It is a barrier for certain people to visit, for certain relationships. Like I've heard these scenarios where you may not be allergic to the cat, but then your partner is. And so then you're kind of like doing that whole song and dance. Well, who am I going to choose? My partner or the cat? I can tell you most of us are going with the cat. Exactly. But we don't want to be alone. So we have to figure out, you know, ways to bring everybody together and to bring down those barriers. And so with Live Clear, I mean, I would encourage you to try it. You know, it's not going to be like the end all be all. So what I always share, you know, with my colleagues and when I'm making these recommendations, you still may have to you know, maneuver different things around your household, like making sure that you're keeping things clean and, you know, trying to eliminate the dander as much as possible. But the studies that were done to support the efficacy of this particular product are astonishing as far as stats are concerned. So I would say try it for sure. Every cat is going to have different levels of their amount of that sticky protein that they're emitting. So not all cats are going to read by the same feline allergen book. So that also means that the results are going to vary too.
That's amazing. I have an excuse now to be like, well, babe, you're not going to be allergic to them anymore. I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing. That's amazing to hear. And I hope it reaches out a lot of people and they could think about it now, like, oh, let's give it a try. You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Quincy Hawley, and I'm here to tell you about a new show. It's Vet Candy Rounds with the Hawleys. That's right, Dr. Tierra, the love of my life, and I have teamed up to bring you the most fascinating cases in the world. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or a podcast platform of your choice, only on Vet Candy Radio.
So Dr. Harris, you shared a lot of really cool pieces of advice already and, you know, saying yes, you know, keeping that window open, keeping that door open. Is there another piece of advice that you would give any vet students or aspiring veterinarians before we wrap up?
Gosh, I have so much advice, but probably my biggest take home for people is, okay, twofold actually. One is don't take yourself too seriously, which I think that that's a complete cliche, but it's true. Like, you've got to learn how to laugh at yourself. I know for like super, you know, A-minded type vet students, right? Type A vet students, it is hard to kind of get outside yourself and maybe laugh a little. So just don't take yourself too seriously. And then number two, you got to find balance in this world. Being a veterinarian is what you do, but it's not all that you do. Okay. So find your passions, whether it's plants, whether it's dancing, which is a passion of mine, whether it's traveling, whether it's, you know, maybe you want to take up, I don't know, making a new flavor of ice cream. Find your balance. It's okay to exercise or utilize other parts of your brain as well. I think that so many veterinarians and vet students alike feel like because this career is a career of passion, that's all that we have to do. That's all that we need to drive us and to get us up out of our beds every morning. And that's not true. We're still human. We still have other interests and other aspects. So find your balance. Find your joy even outside of being a veterinarian.
Yeah, I love that because I've always like had this saying, like, you know, I'm human first and a veterinarian second because it's my passion, it's my career, but like that's not the only thing that, you know, gives me life or that the only thing that I dabble in.
It, you know what? And so Shannon, because that's like such an interesting topic too when we're thinking about mental health and overall well-being. And I think, again, being a veterinarian, it takes a special person. All of you are special because you chose to go to vet school. You are so different from your family members, from your friends outside of the veterinary community. So just understand that you were given something very unique to be able to pursue this career. But it's not what defines you. Mm-hmm. You are so much more than that cardio test that you have to take tomorrow, Tatiana. You know, you are so much bigger than that. And so, you know, I love what you said, Shannon, that you're human first. We're all humans first. Yeah. And I think that if we always keep that top of mind, then we're going to be able to maneuver through the tough days and the challenges that we may find being a veterinarian and working in this profession.
Yeah, like we can provide value like outside of veterinary medicine. That's not the only thing like we have to live and die by. So I love that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or fall on the sword for. I love that. Like, don't fall on the sword for it.
Don't. Yeah, like finding balance is really important because it's like, yes, I do this, but you know what? I also enjoy doing this and that's how I create my balance. Like Tatiana, she has plans. She loves plans. She loves working out too, as well as Shannon. And we just...
I heard that a couple of you are some bodybuilders, fitness models. Okay, like this is, yes, definitely don't point at me because I mean, I'm feeling good when I do some 2-pound weights with my Pure Barre class, but if you ask me to lift anything heavier than that, you know, I might whimper or start to cry. But yeah, I mean, you guys are phenomenal with everything that you do. I just think it's so amazing, and I'm inspired by the three of you as well.
Oh my gosh, I'm so humbled. Thank you.
Definitely, yes.
Any advice for like veterinarians or pre-vets that like want to work in industry or like have a career like, you know, outside of that normal like clinical environment?
Yes, that's a really good question, Shannon. So I would say this for those vets, especially vet students that are starting to ask me about pursuing a career in industry, because, you know, I come to your schools, I talk about Purina, you know, we give these fabulous presentations, we buy you guys lunch, you know, it just looks like we're living the life. But with industry and being a veterinarian in an industry, whether it's pet food or, you know, pharma or what have you, you do have to realize there are certain aspects of it that are going to be very different from clinical practice. Number one, my day-to-day does not involve me putting my hands on an animal, okay? And so if that is something that you feel like, okay, I cannot live without, industry may not be the role for you, okay? Number two, you have to be okay with travel. Right now, during COVID times, not so much because of the obvious, but prior to 2020, I was on somebody's plane or in somebody's rental car or in somebody's hotel 75% of my month. Okay, so that is definitely something that you would have to be okay with. But what I will say is that transitioning over to industry does provide this area of opportunity for you to not just learn something different or do something that's outside the norm, but you do still have an opportunity to practice as well. At Purina, they encourage us to get back into the clinics because that provides a level of credibility for me. If I'm gonna go out there and talk about pet food that's gonna help manage some of the diseases that you guys are seeing in practice, I need to have that same experience with those diseases. And so that's what I love about my job with Purina is that yes, you know, I'm working for them, but they're still like, no, please go back into clinical practice and do what you need to do to maintain those skills. So if it is a career that you're desiring, make sure that you start in clinical practice first. I think that most industry companies, they are wanting at least a couple of years of clinical practice under the belt. I don't know if it's a hard line for everybody, but I know for Purina, on their application or on their job listing, it does say 3 to 5 years of experience. And then I would also say network, connect, like what you're doing right now, having me on your show, you know, as a guest, you know, where people will hear, oh, Dr. Callie Harris. Well, then maybe they might want to find out what my email is or connect with me on social media. Because guess what? The more you network and connect, then now I know who Tatiana is, or I know who Shannon is. And so then years later when you're like, all right, I want to work for Purina, I'm like, oh, I remember talking to that really nice young lady many years ago. So networking, connecting, you know, building up your own level of credibility would be my advice.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you giving us that piece of information. It really does help. Like you said, networking is really important, especially right now. Like the more people you know, the more people you reach. And that's basically what it is nowadays. Except last year, 2020 was weird.
I mean, 2020, there were so many, it was weird. That's like, let's just leave it at that. It was weird. It was really hard for so many people. You know, I still feel very blessed to have made it through 2020 with just, you know, minimal stuff to complain about. I know for others, it was, devastating for some. But, you know, I think that to your point, Lexi, you know, networking became even more powerful during that year because we had to figure out a way to connect when we couldn't see each other face to face. And so I think even what you guys are doing, building your own platform, you know, providing this information, you know, through a podcast for your peers and for others to draw inspiration from, I think that all of you guys are on the right pathway for really building up your networks.
Yeah, we're trying. The more people we reach, the better. It's like, we had to do something last year. It's like, what are we going to do now? You know, like, let's give some people some hope. Like, we have to figure something out. And I have to reach out to somebody somehow. I'm in my house and I'm just staring at my window and my books, you know, like, let's do something.
I know. I remember like the very first like Zoom meetings, you know, right now Zoom feels like so part of our life. But do you remember like the very first Zoom meeting that you went on?
It was so weird.
You know, half the time people looked like this, you know, where you couldn't see their face, or, you know, things were upside down, or you were on mute the whole time. I mean, it's just, we've really had a huge learning curve through all of this. But, I have found that through 2020, I have connected with my family more. So my parents live here in the metro Atlanta area, but my older sister, she lives in New Mexico, and she has three boys, my nephews and my brother-in-law, they all live out there. And so we would see each other maybe once a year if we were lucky. And now, because of Zoom or other, you know, video capabilities, we make sure to see each other at least every other Sunday. And that's something that we didn't even think about prior to 2020. I mean, it was always there to do it, but we didn't put value in it. When it gets taken away that you can't see somebody in person, then you have to get creative. And so that's something that we are still going to hopefully maintain even once the world opens up fully.
Wow. No, yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Like, I was never home. I lived 6 hours away from my home. So I was in College Station. So I would never see my parents. I would never see my family. And when everything happened and we were all just sitting at the table, we're like, well, hi, like, it's been a while. Like, yeah, good to see you. Like, I'm your daughter. Like, you remember me, right?
I'm your daughter. Let me introduce myself. I am your child.
Like, you know who I am, right? Yeah. And my dad said that. Yes. My dad was just so happy to have us all back home. It's just me and my brother. So I wouldn't see my brother. He lives down in Houston and I was in College Station. My dad's out working as well. So having us all in one room was really good. And we got really aggressive with like the board games. We started doing all these types of games. And
then you get serious and then you start keeping score. And then next thing you know, you're not talking to one another. Yeah, true stories. I understand.
Yes, we had a scoreboard for Uno. He's like, Lexi won. You're not going to win again.
And then all of a sudden, everybody's mad, but it's all in good fun.
We quarantined in our rooms.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Parents, this is your favorite lifestyle guru, Renee Michelle, and I'm excited to tell you about my new show on Pet Candy. Join me and make some cute pet stuff. Talk about life and love and everything in between. Check out the Renee Michelle show on mypetcandy.com and let's have some fun.
Wow. Well, what an episode this has been. Oh my gosh, just I'm feeling so inspired and I was able to get just great advice. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being on our show, Dr. Harris.
Oh, thank you guys. Yeah, this is my pleasure. This is like the most excitement I've had all day. So thank you guys for this. This is fantastic. Seriously. And you guys know when I say this, I truly mean it. Y'all are just so phenomenal. I mean, I know in the day-to-day when you're studying for your different tests and you're feeling a little bit isolated and alone, just realize that you are making an impact. And what the three of you are doing outside of just being vet students is just so inspiring to me as a vet who's been out for a while. So I can imagine the inspiration that you're providing for your peers. So keep up the good work. Don't take yourself too seriously and know that all three of you are becoming world changers right before your own eyes. So great job.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep that on a post-it. Don't take yourself too seriously. I'm going to post it in my forehead. That's going to stay with me. Thank you. I needed to hear that. Thank you.
Well, thank you for such an awesome show, you guys. Loved having you all here and talking and catching up. So thank you for joining us on this episode of Vet Candy IRL. I'm Shannon.
I'm Lexi.
And I'm Tatiana.
And we'll see you next time.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.